House Labor and Commerce now come to order. It's 3:20 p.m. on February 18th. With us, we have Speaker Chenault, Representative Heron, Representative Josephson, Representative Sadler, myself, Chair Olson. We do have a quorum to conduct business, and I suspect we'll probably have one more member shortly. Please turn off your cell phones. We have two bills on the calendar today. I don't believe we're going to get through both of them, or at least I think we'll be carrying both of them over. House Bill 32 is first up, lines of business insurance on business license. And to present the bill, we have the sponsor of the bill, Representative Costello, and her staff. How many of your staff? Two or just Mary? So why don't you and Mary come to the table and please read yourself onto the record and tell us about the bill. Now, are you in this part of this bill, too? You co-primes?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Representative Mia Costello, and one of the two prime sponsors on this legislation. I'm here along with Representative Shelley Hughes. And with me today is my aide, Mary Schlosser, who will be going through the bill in detail. My remarks will be brief, Mr. Chair. One of the things we know about Alaska is that we can do a better job of creating a business-friendly environment. And as we all know, small business really is one of the ways that we can grow our economy the fastest. So this bill came about
For a couple points of clarification, I'll entertain a motion to adopt version O as the working document.
Mr. Chairman,
we have several versions of the bill.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we adopt a work draft for CS for House Bill 3228-LS0192-O as a working document.
And I might add, seeing no opposition, we will, and I might add that we've been joined by Representative Millen about a minute after I said that she'd be here. So we do have everybody that's coming today. And you're back up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This bill does two things. It allows for people who apply for a business license to include multiple lines of business in that license, and also it's in response to a constituent concern where a change was requested to a business license and my constituent was asked to reapply for a new license. So we're in this bill addressing those two concerns, and with that, I would like to turn it over to Mary Schlosser, who will go through the bill for the committee members.
Thank you, Representative Costello. Chairman Olson, committee members, for the record, my name is Mary Schlosser, and I'm staff to Representative Costello. It's a pleasure to be here today before the committee, and thank you for allowing me to provide you with an overview of HB 32. Under current law, a separate business license is required for each line of business or business activity. This bill does two things. First, it allows a business to obtain a license covering all lines of business. It establishes an application process to allow for multiple lines of business on a single license application with one fee charged. Second, it makes the progress more consumer friendly by smoothing the process for changing the business licenses. If the department makes an error, the department will correct it at no charge while the business license is active. And then also, if the consumer needs to change something, they can do so for free within 90 days of the application. The bill also provides for the transition between one type of licensing system and the new one. After discussion with the division, we are requesting some minor modifications that you will see in version O. First specified line or lines to show for that we are emphasizing multiple lines of business, and instead of just line of business, to ensure no confusion. Second, altered language in Section 3 is to clarify the change process worked as described for the 90-day grace period and the correction of errors. Third, altered bill title to reflect the changes to the business license, not only permitted in the case of a mistake, but can be changed for other reasons as well. Again, the goal of this bill, committee members, is to make it possible to license the business rather than the lines of business. And I think that goes along with the goal of Representative Costello, is to make this state more consumer-friendly. And just some little facts, CSNBC ranked us 49th for business-friendly, and Forbes ranked us 42nd. So thank you, members of the committee, Chairman Olson. for your time.
Representative Hughes, do you have anything you want to add?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to say anything that we can do to help move us up the ranking that you just so excellently explained is important, and we want Alaska to be business-friendly. The small businesses are the heart and soul of the folks in Alaska, and so this is an important bill, and I urge you to move it out of committee.
Any committee questions before we open it up to public testimony? Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know,
I believe you had some experience in this.
Asking questions or this, but no, this to either of the two sponsors. On page 2, line 10, I guess, there was some reference made by Mr. Sponsor about the other changes that might be made. What other reasons might someone want to change their business license other than a mistake by the department, an error made by the department? This is actually, let's see, line 10, page 2.
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, later in the committee meeting, you'll be hearing from a constituent related to this issue. Essentially, she chose or selected the wrong type of business and realized it after she had sent her application in and was not allowed to make that change without applying for an entirely new business. So in this case, it was the actual type of business. And you'll be hearing from that constituent later.
Okay. How many days or how long was it before she discovered the error? Or should we wait and ask her?
Mr. Chair, if you could ask her that question, I think that would be the best course. I'm not exactly sure how much time transpired before she determined there was an error.
Representative Herring.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mary, is there any known opposition to this legislation?
Through the chair, Representative Herring, we have no known opposition to this bill. Thank you.
Second question, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Is that basically is if you have several lines of business and all the owners are the same owners in all lines, then this would allow that to have a single license. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative Herring, as long as the owners and the name of the business are the same, yes, that's correct.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Got one?
Thank you, Mr.
Or
Chairman.
Two?
Well, I actually have I'm going to co-sponsor this bill. I like this bill, but I have a couple questions of the department. So when the time's appropriate.
Will be coming up.
Okay.
Speaker Chenault. Well, with that, I think we'll open it up to the people in the room, starting with, I think there'd be a number of questions for Don Habiger. If we could get Don up here. Welcome back.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Don Habiger, Director of Corporations, Business, and Professional Licensing.
First question is, does the department have a position on this bill? What are the administration on it?
No position on the bill. Certainly, anything to streamline business friendliness is a good goal.
Thank you, Mr.
Joseph.
Yes. Does the department have any sense of how much revenue it would not receive were this bill to pass, and what would happen as a consequence of that?
Through the chair, Representative Josephson, up until just moments ago when we had one of our questions answered, which is owners and names the same, we were not 100% sure how to find that particular number. As we look at our data, there are a number of things that may be implicated in our understanding before today of this bill. For example, we have business owners with the same last name that have multiple lines of business, but they also have different licenses. We weren't sure if that was included, as we just heard the clarification point that no longer is included. So at the moment, I'm not 100% sure. We'll have to go back and get that data for you.
So is that basically the difference between the two fiscal notes, or?
The fiscal note that you have before you has to do with the bill that was out previously. I'm not sure which version that is off the top of my head, but right now the department requires a business applicant to name a primary and a secondary line of business, or the North American Industries Code. And we use that as, or we built a database around that. And therefore, we keep track of those two pieces. If we open this up to numerous lines of business, essentially it means quite a bit of modifications for that database, because we're tracking more moving pieces, if you will.
Representative,
thank you, Mr. Chairman. The revenue that's received now for business licenses, does that go to the general fund, or does it go for to the state agency itself?
Through the chair, Representative Josephson, it goes to the general fund.
Hello?
Yep. Representative Sadler?
Thank you, Chair. So a question. I took the liberty of going on the online database for business licenses and did see that there's a primary and a secondary business line listed. Is it fair to say right now we do have multiple business lines on a business license, but it's limited to two?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, no, that's incorrect. They have to choose a primary line of business, and right now the state of Alaska has 19 lines of business. Underneath that, they may separate it, if they so choose, into a specialty. For example, a line of business may be agriculture. They may declare that they're in potato growing, for example. We have, if you happen to see that, we have, we use the, I want to say it's the NAICS codes. The one that we've adopted for Alaska is about 16 pages. You basically can choose out of that to help you refine what your business is doing.
So follow up? So it's not so much a primary and secondary as a primary and then a more explicit detail about that primary? Is that what you're saying?
Through the chair, Representative, that's correct.
But you call it secondary?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, yeah, good answer to the obvious question, but
my mistake.
So I understand it as being more detailed. Okay. Okay, I think I got it. If I other line of questioning?
Sure.
Thank you. How many, Mr. Habiger, how many people who have business licenses in Alaska currently have multiple business licenses? What I'm trying to get to is how much will we collapse the number of licensees and therefore the number of revenue should this bill become law?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, we estimate that based on our current understanding of intent, business owners, with version O, business owners named the same, our data folks say that there's about 700 that may fall under this category that could collapse into one same business name, could collapse into a single business license.
So if you could say that again, so there's 700.
Based on our data, and again, it keeps a number of points per statute, so it's got names, it's got addresses, it's got a line of business. We record the dates that the license is issued. We tell them when it's expired, and the business name. Looking at those points of data that we keep, if you have the same business name, but you have different licenses, and can't tell you why that they're doing that, there's about 700 individuals that this might affect.
Okay. Out of a total of approximately how many?
Business licenses is northward of 60,000.
Okay, so it's not significant, not real significant.
Okay.
It's not a huge number, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, good. I answered my questions.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
We also have Kathy Romick in the room. Welcome back, Kathy, and please state your name and affiliation for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Kathy Romick, and I live at 4442 Mendenhall Boulevard in Juneau, and I'm here today representing the Juneau Chamber of Commerce. And what I'd like to do is just be really, really brief, because you make me nervous. But
oh, we're a friendly group.
I'm just going to read the letter that I wrote to the sponsor of this bill, Representative Costello. I said, the Juneau Chamber of Commerce, representing over 400 Alaskan businesses, would like to add our support to the passage of House Bill 32. As a Chamber of Commerce, we see firsthand the frustrations and red tape that the very small businesses have to go through in order to survive, stay in business, and feed their families. Only one in five small businesses survive as it is, and these are hardworking Alaskans who know the value of the dollar, are not asking for a handout, just a fair shake. We understand that currently Alaska requires a business license for every line of business operated by a business, even though essentially it could be one business doing various seasonal jobs to support their family, as many Alaskans do. These extra fees can be a huge burden and may in fact be one of the reasons so many fail. The proposed legislation would require one fee be paid and allow a business to register all its lines of business on one license, and also allow for a business license to be corrected or changed once without charge, is good for Alaska business and supports the success of Alaska business. The Juneau Chamber of Commerce supports House Bill 32 and will encourage others to do so as well.
Any questions? Thanks again.
Thank you very much.
Joelle, do you have anything to add, or are you just questions only? Yeah, that was easy. Any questions? If anybody else in the room that would care to testify on this bill, please join us.
Thank you so much for allowing me the opportunity today to testify on HB 32. My testimony will be short because, just like you...
Well, can we have your name and affiliation, please?
I will. Just like you, I am a working realtor. My name is Peggy Ann McConaughey. I'm a real estate broker. I am the owner of a company, ACH Consulting, that does both real estate consulting and real estate education. I am the holder of two separate business licenses. Now, this is in addition to the professional license I hold, being a real estate broker. I hold one for my company, and I hold one for teaching real estate courses. I'm required by the state to have two separate business licenses, as the state sees me as having two separate lines of business. I view this requirement to be unreasonable and burdensome. My consulting and my teaching are both centered in real estate. For the state to require two separate licenses for what I see as one line of business is onerous. Small businesses have a tough enough time without being made to pay unnecessary fees. I urge you to pass HB 32.
Any questions? Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else in the room? And I think we have at least one person online. Shirley Buller, are you with us?
Yes, sir, I am.
Thank you for joining us today. Could you please state your name and affiliation for the record?
Of course. My name is Shirley Buller, and I own a company named Upstream Mobile here in Anchorage.
Please continue.
Okay. I'd like to share my experience that relates to House Bill 32, in particular to Sections 3 and then Section 1. So I opened my business back a year and a half ago, just doing trade shows and business expos. For instance, I did a realtors convention, two different realtors conventions, on behalf of Alaska Communications, for whom I'm an authorized agent. I also am an authorized agent for the satellite guy here in town, and the two do fit together. I'll discuss that in a moment, but I want to talk about Section 3. Doing trade shows, my overhead was very little, and I thought I would continue in that method for, Lord knows how long. But then I had an opportunity to have a retail space. It was just a wide open door that I really didn't expect. And I had already filed my business license. I got my little postcard in the mail and dutifully turned in early my continuation of my business license for 2 years. And then 1 week later, I found this tremendous retail opportunity, and I jumped. And so I realized that in that different mode of operation that I should no longer be a sole proprietor because now I have assets and more long-term employees. I should probably more logically operate as a single-member LLC. And so I called the state office. I have to give credit to the gentleman. He was very polite. He was very kind, however, limited by the law. And I said, look, I've just filed this. You probably haven't even processed my paperwork yet. I don't think it had been 2 weeks. I am the person to whom Mia Costello referred. And I said, you probably haven't processed it. It's still October. This isn't even valid till January. Can't you move me from the sole prop file over to the LLC file? I'll pay the difference. He said, no, I'm sorry. I can't do that. And I said, you know, it's not even been 2 weeks. This isn't until January. He said, I'm sorry. I'm limited by the law. Maybe you could contact your representative. And so that's exactly what I did. And you see HB 32 before you today. And then secondly, as a small business owner, I have to run multiple lines of business in order to survive, as many of us do. I mentioned that I work for myself, but I represent both Alaska Communications and the Satellite Guy. And I must tell you honestly that the oncoming new national telecom provider to Alaska has me a little concerned, and I would be foolish to think that their opening of their doors fourth quarter of this year does not have me a bit concerned about my business. So yes, I'm looking for a third line of business, have my eye on something, already am talking to another company about possibly representing them as well, because this national player will take a hit on my major income, which is through Alaska Communications. And I hope that's not the case, but I think I need to plan that way. And so I feel that this particular bill would be a help to my company as well as many others that do run multiple lines of business, because it is our way of surviving. I got some statistics back in February of this year from the Small Business Administration that 64% of net new jobs come from small firms, and 43% of all high-tech employment, which is like my company, is created by small businesses. There were 8 other wonderful things about small businesses, but those are 2 that I'll highlight. But on the flip side, in my classes with the Small Business Development Center, they warned us that we have a 1 in 5 chance of surviving as entrepreneurs. I'm going to be one of the 1. I'm going to be it. I will be her. But I will be one that will make it. But Alaska needs to partner with us, and I know you already do, and that's why this bill stands before you. The more that we partner together, the more you help us as small businesses to succeed.
Thank you, Ms. Bowler. Are there any questions? We got off light. Thanks again. And is there anybody else online? I'm going to hold the public comments open. We are in the process of working with the co-primes to get a claim final version of the bill out and a new fiscal note that will match it. And I anticipate we'll be hearing it probably at the beginning of next week. I think it's too late to schedule it for this week, but with that, we will move on to the second bill, and I think we'll take a break of these. Back on the record, it is 3:40, not that it matters. The next item on the calendar is House Bill 71, and we have Representative Hughes and Ginger Blaisdell to present the bill. Welcome back again. Both of you going to present, or just?
I think it'll just be me, but
just the representative.
We need to find something deja vu here. I'm Shelley Hughes, a House representative from District 8, and I am here to present House Bill 71, which is an act extending the termination date of the Alaska Regional Economic Association program and providing for an effective date, and I said association, I should have said assistance in that title. And this is a very concise bill. It simply extends the ARDR program from 2013 to 2018, And it is the silver jubilee of the ARDA program. They're 25 years old. It was established in 1988, and we require the Department of what is now Commerce, Community, Economic Development to encourage the formation of these organizations. And the department offers grants each year to qualifying ARDA organizations and to provide counseling and technical assistance. Currently, there are 12 organizations around the state. The cost for that program, each one is getting about $62,000 a year, so it's not a large amount of state funding. And I'll just mention that a part of that is they require a one-third match with that, which 20% must be derived from local sources. And they have been successful in leveraging state funding by at least 3-1, and in some cases, some of the ARDRs as much as 8-1. So very successful there. We've learned that since its inception in 1988, 25 years ago, that an audit has never been performed on the ARDR program. So we are working on putting together a request. Actually, we're just working on this morning to have one done, and that's going to be going to the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee. And I don't perceive any real issues, but I think we could perhaps find ways that we could improve it, because the formation of the ARDRs was based on the belief that a locally driven initiative partnering with the state and other entities would be the best combination to figure out good economic development ideas, which would allow for healthier communities and which would mean stronger local sustainable economies. So it seems like it's the right time to do that, and I believe it's a prudent action to take. And we expect that audit, we made some calls this morning, that it could be complete in about 2 years. And with that brief overview, I'm available for questions. I'm guessing your questions might need to be directed to the department, and we do have them here in the room. And hopefully they will highlight, as they respond to your questions, some achievements, because they've done some good things. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I am open for questions.
Fire away. Who's up first? Representative Sadler.
I can come up with a question.
I got a half page of them.
So, thank you, Mr. Chair. A question to the maker, to the sponsor. How many employees are there under the ARDR program, either full or part-time?
The state has one coordinator, and she's here in the room. And then each of the ARDRs typically has they're governed by a board, and they have an executive director, and I'm not aware of if they have additional staff. That's a question you can speak with them directly, but as far as state employees, pretty small. In fact, the coordinators, it's only part of her job as far as coordinating the ARDR program.
Representative Herron.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Hughes, since you are going to ask for an audit to LBNA, do you think it's appropriate that the sunset be reduced to 2 years pending that audit?
I do.
Mr. Chairman, at the appropriate time, I'll offer a conceptual amendment for future action at another meeting.
Yeah, we're going to be holding this bill over, too, for that reason. I was aware of that, and I would like to find out and make sure that we can get it done and not have them sunset right at the time the audit's coming out. So I would suspect it might be 3 years, but we'll talk to LBMA and find out how we can do it with a cushion to protect all parties concerned. And with that, Representative Josephson?
No. Nope. Not a one. Not a question. No.
We've got three people. Thank you. We'll free up the table for Shelley Wright. Welcome.
Good afternoon. My name is Shelley Wright. I am the Executive Director for Southeast Conference, the ARDR for Southeast Alaska. I'll just speak briefly about why an ARDR, the advantages of Ardors, and then I'll talk just a little bit about my Ardor, because we're all different. We all do different things for our regions because our regions are all different. The value of having the Ardors in the state is that there is a partnership with the state planning processes, and collaboration between all of the different Ardors is very important to us, and with the state there helping us organize things and get together periodically is very valuable for the regional development organizations across the state of Alaska. Why the Ardor? The funding for the Ardors is unrestricted funding. Most of the money that is received through the grant process for my Ardor anyway is project-oriented money. We get grants and contracts that are specific to projects. We have this Ardor money that is unrestricted, and we use that for our program, therefore keeping the administrative costs for those grants down, and the project costs, the project is able to be funded for what the money is originally needed for. Southeast Conference has been around since 1958. We're very privileged to have a very old organization. We've gotten a lot of respect from our members. We are a membership organization. You have information in a packet that I believe Representative Hughes' office gave you. It's got where our money comes from, how we leverage our money. It's got our top 10 priorities. And Southeast Conference is a very active development organization. We work with all of the communities and 23 incorporated and 21 unincorporated communities. We get together twice a year through Southeast Conference. We do our yearly planning, we do our five-year plans, and keep everyone as best as it can be done on the same page. I would speak for the five-year extension to the Ardor program. It's a planning necessity that we are able to have security for that period of time. And I would also speak to funding the Ardors up to the limit that they the statute requires, or not requires, but was suggested. Other than that, I'll answer any questions.
Representative Mullen, followed by Representative Sadler.
Thanks. Good to see you, Shelley. It's nice to have you here. Can you just talk about some of the successful projects that you've had with Southeast Conference, some of your regional successes that came out of Southeast Conference and advocating for energy projects? I mean, that's the ones I'm most familiar with, is the energy projects. And then how you differ and what your relationship is with commerce and economic development on a state level?
Our successes, our recent successes, we have been able to keep the Cake Petersburg Intertie project moving forward. It has had many, many roadblocks, and we just constantly keep under the radar, keeping the EIS happening, keeping the Forest Service in the loop, keeping Department of Transportation on board with the project. That project has had some successes. SEPA, the utility that is going to be running that project, and the IPEC, who is the current utility, have signed a memorandum of agreement through facilitation through Southeast Conference. We've also got Reynolds Creek Hydro Project moving forward. They've got a project manager now. They have a business plan. And all through the efforts of our energy coordinator that keeps his nose to the grindstone and keeps those projects up on the radar of the folks that need to see it. We also did the IRP, the Integrated Resource Plan, love it or leave it. It's done, and it has really created some great information for people to use in developing their energy projects in Southeast Alaska. We're very interested in marine highways, how that process is moving along. We're in close contact with the governor's office. We serve as basically a communications conduit through through our members, which there are about 180, and most of those are municipalities, so we have a wide reach. And we like to serve as a communications between the governor's office and our members so that they're aware of what's happening with marine highways. Right now is the hot spot, but anything else that comes along, the state likes to come to us because we're able to get out to the people in Southeast Alaska. And as far as our relationship with Department of Commerce, what's really great about the ARDOs and Department of Commerce is we're able to connect to state agencies like Department of Commerce when it comes to regional development plans, energy plans. We had our ARDO meeting just a couple of weeks ago, and there are several IRPs that are happening all across Alaska. Since ours is done, we're able to compare notes, decide what worked, what didn't, what's best to learn, those types of things. I know Department of Labor has decided to use the ARDOs as their conduit for what's happening in the regions. Alaska Workforce Investment Board has come to the ARDOs and asked them to give them the needs and the assessment of what's going on the ground. And then there's other organization or other departments as well that we were asked to support the House Bill 32 that you just heard, and the ARDOs are happy to do that from the ground up.
Well, thank you very much. Nope, Representative Sadler,
sorry. A quick question, just I'm trying to get this to know if the executive director is, of the Southeast Conference has paid a lot of the state money or federal money.
Yes, that is our operations money. So it's staff, rent, utilities, those types of things is what is paid out of that ARDOR.
Okay. So it comes out of, looking at the fiscal note, it comes out of, grants and benefits, and it goes into your organization and you use it partly to pay for
yes.
personnel. Okay.
Thanks. Thanks again.
Thank you.
We've got two people from the Division of Economic Development for questions only. If we have any questions for either Nicole Grave or Lorraine Palmer. Seeing none, is there anybody else in the room that would care to testify on this bill? And we have one person online. Andy Varner, are you with us?
Yes, sir, I am, Mr. Chairman.
Well, thank you for joining us today. Please state your name and affiliation for the record, and you've got our undivided attention.
Okay. I like it, undivided. For the record, my name is Andy Varner. I'm the executive director of the Southwest Alaska Municipal Conference, or SWAMC for short. We're calling in from Anchorage, but the region that SWAMC represents is the Bristol Bay, Kodiak and Aleutian Pribilof regions. So really we have sort of three sub-regions in our area. So it's quite a large ARDOR, quite a large district, about the size of Oregon, but we try to make our ARDOR dollars stretch as far as we can and get work done on behalf of the region for economic development planning. I'll just tell you a little bit about SWAMC. I think the previous speaker, Shelley Wright, covered some of the highlights of the program quite well. We use our money in much the same manner to help pay the bills and leverage with other funding sources. The ARDOR grant, in our particular case, makes up about 20% of our operating budget. And we also get some federal money and other grants and use a lot of in-kind sources, too, for our programs. Aside from being an ARDOR, we also have the designation of the Economic Development District by the Federal Economic Development Administration. And SWAMC was also once a regional advisory council for AWIB, the Alaska Workforce Investment Board. I guess technically we still are, but those were kind of in AWIB and the ARDORs are trying to figure out how we're going to work best together to help satisfy our workforce needs and workforce issues in regions, but we're definitely ready and willing partners to help communicate those needs. Let's see. So, I guess right now I'm calling in. We're in the middle of planning a 3-day economic development summit for our region. It's going to take place in Anchorage. We also have 2 board meetings this week. So, as soon as this is done, I'll get back to doing all those activities, making sure all of our presenters and participants have other questions answered. But that's sort of one of our big activities in the early winter. And aside from economic development planning, one of the things we're really getting into right now, which a lot of other ARDRs are as well, is regional energy planning and signing contracts with AEA. Shelley from Southeast Conference, they signed one with AEA a year or two ago. They were one of the first ARDRs to take on regional energy planning. And our organization has a contract with AEA to do Bristol Bay and Aleutians plans. And then we're in talks to do a Kodiak regional energy plan. So we may end up doing 3 when this is all said and done. So on Wednesday, we're going to have an energy workshop with our 3 regions discussing energy planning priorities and projects and things of that nature. Another thing we did was we deal with is broadband. We did a broadband strategy for the region, developed a broadband strategy for the region. Finished the end of last year that deals with access and adoption issues to really try to get our telecommunications infrastructure and usage improved as much as we can in the region. That's a big economic development linchpin, and it's something we're dedicated to work on. We attend a lot of the statewide broadband task force meetings to make sure that our region's needs are communicated, and really that goes along the line with other rural regions. I think one of the things we try to concentrate on is thinking both big and small for our region. What I mean by that is thinking small is helping mom-and-pop businesses or tourism operators, B&Bs, helping folks, you know, bridge the digital divide, learning how to use new technologies in the region. We've done that through different workshops. We have a Vista volunteer that's helping us right now with some of those issues. And doing those things to really help small businesses and the local economies thrive. But really, you know, this is a large region. We have to think a bit bigger as well when thinking about an entire Southwest region. So we try to focus on things like energy planning, infrastructure planning. You know, we have 2 of these sub-regions are on the ferry system. We really try to communicate the region's needs to the Marine Highway System folks. We've looked at transshipment, how the Aleutians can play a part in transshipment with the opening of the Arctic, and that's something we'll talk about at our economic development summit later on this week. And, you know, looking at the seafood industry, how can we get as many Alaskans, how can we get as many Southwest Alaskans to catch and participate in Alaska fisheries as possible? That's a big issue that's the state is facing now in the seafood industry. So, you know, we, our economist here and staff, he's also a fisherman. He does a lot of research and analysis on our region's fisheries. We participate in the Fisheries Seafood Maritime Initiative that the university is doing. To just, you know, try to do what we can for the seafood and fisheries industries in our region. I'll basically sum up, you know, one of the other things we're trying to do is work with other ARDRs on economic development issues, whether it's food and agriculture, whether it's energy planning, education programs. We partnered with Anchorage Economic Development Corporation to do a tour of the Kodiak launch facility with Lockheed Martin representative. We're trying to reach out all the ARDRs as a whole to work together more because, you know, we realize that public dollars, funding, as you know, it's much, much tighter, so we're all trying to work together and stretch these dollars and as much as we can, and also leverage each other's strengths and expertise to move the economy of the state forward as a whole, too. So that's something that over the past couple of years we're trying to do more of as partner on different projects. You know, I'll stop there. the ARDR money is extremely important. It helps us pay our bills through personnel and keeps the lights on and has an office space here. So it's extremely important for Swansea. You know, we've been in ARDR for 25 years. This is the organization's 25th year in existence. As a matter of fact, this is our silver jubilee as well. And we're proud to be in ARDR this whole time and really enjoy being part of the program, working with the Department of Commerce and working with other ARDRs to make this program as much as it can be. So happy to answer any questions that you may have, Mr. Chairman, or the rest of the committee.
Representative Millett.
So how much of the $807,539 does Swampsea get? I just don't know the breakdown on their appropriation.
$62,122. That money is divided evenly amongst all 12 ARDRs.
Okay. Thank
you. Representative Josephson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess my only question for you, sir, would be the nature of the energy plans you're working on. In other words, are they thermal, are they hydro, are they wind? What kind of programs are you working on?
Representative Josephson, through the chair, it's really a comprehensive look at the available options and alternatives for a community. So, for instance, we were in ADAC just a week and a half ago, there with an energy engineer, and there was two Swansea staff folks and this energy engineer. We're just meeting with different leaders in the ADAC community and assessing the options that they have for energy projects, basically helping to map out an energy future. They have enormous hydro potential, but it's never been developed. So one of the things we'll focus on is trying to help them and the region prioritize energy projects and energy pathways that are going to help improve the local energy situation. And thus, that should help economic development. That's the main reason we're interested in this, is to create economic development opportunities. So it'll be resource assessments, helping to prioritize projects and alternatives, and really mapping out an energy future for a region.
Thank you.
Well, thanks again, Andy. And with that, I'm going to hold the public testimony open, and we will clarify with the sponsor of the bill and with Representative Heron and the budget and audit people the status of the last audit. I thought there was one that might have just been done real recent that hasn't been released, but I'm not positive on that. But and with that, we'll adjourn at 4:15.